Welcome to the Game On Podcast. Tonight, a new Sydney coach takes the reins for the first time. Pay tribute to a star that was taken far too soon and will be remembered at the Adelaide Test. And who makes the Australian team for the Adelaide Test? Lots of options now. All right, let's do this. Welcome to the Game On Podcast. My name's Pete once again, joined in the studio here with Malcolm. And, mate, what was your good for the weekend?
The number of people who were at the Club 2020 Day. I ended up at Kensington versus West Torrens out at Parkinson. And I'm saying, and it went down to a super over. Kensington defeated West Torrens in the super over, but they played it all day in terms of juniors, females and seniors.
Yes.
Encouraged them all to end up at the A grade. Now I'm saying conservatively there was 500 people there, probably closer to 1,000. Mm-hmm. As I said to Ryan Harris, I said, I wish this was a Shield game crowd.
Yes.
He did laugh and say, yes, I couldn't agree with you more, Malcolm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, great atmosphere. And I just think it was a very successful day. We'll quickly bag the sacker when they get things wrong, like the car parking and the charging $10 for a Shield game.
Yep.
But in terms of Saturday, as a Club 2020 day, I think it was a great and very successful initiative. Mm-hmm. And I've heard similar from that's been the word, that they were all really well supported and captured the imagination. So well done there.
Good to hear some juniors hanging around, like you said there. I think that's, you know, you try to build your base, you know, from that junior grades. If they can get a little bit of a look at what the seniors are doing, it can only be a good thing, can't it?
Well, the game at Parkinson, using that as example, for West Torrens, Jake Fraser-McGurk played, and did you think the kids were excited to see him?
Yes.
There was also Daniel Drew, Kelvin Smith, thinking for Kensington, Jake Lehman playing. Henry Hunt, who batted very well, actually. It's probably the best I've seen him hit him in a 2020 game.
Yep.
Wes Agar, Henry Thornton. So there was
some talent on the show.
Yeah, there was some talent and a bit of an attraction. And, yeah, the kids were pretty excited. And, yeah, it was certainly a really successful day.
Is this the connection that you were talking about a couple of weeks ago, that the Sacker really needs to try and involve those players a little bit more? I know the clubs are doing it, but you'd want your state body doing it as well, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you do. To the Sacker, in their defence there, they there's a lot of school visits during Shield games and that side of things. And in all honesty, they're 99% of the crowd.
Yep. Well,
yeah, they've lost the pensioners through their own stupidity. Mm-hmm. But in that, I've got to be fair again, the Sacker are pretty, there's generally lots of kids around.
Yep.
And that side of things.
So now it's just about getting that transition from point A to point B, get them playing obviously a lot more club cricket, and being involved in these type of days can only be a good thing, can't it?
Yeah, as I said, I think it was innovative
and
a really successful idea. So full of praise.
Absolutely. And a couple of those things this year already, like you said, the games all being played at Karen Rolton and the ovals out the back had everybody together. I think that's the way of the future, isn't it? Almost that gather round style format where everybody's
get everyone involved
in one location, or different grades, men's, women's, kids all playing on the same day. It can only be a positive, that's for sure.
Yeah, so I think there was 13s, 15s, 16s, women's, obviously all the grades, the A, B and C grade in terms of the men. I think it was women's A's and B's. So, you know, there was a lot of cricket. It was, as I said, started at 9:30 in the morning. And just bang, bang, bang. They kept repeating. And they were at two games, two grounds at Parkinson. Of course, they could have actually used the three grounds. There's three grounds there, but there were the two grounds being used, and they were full on from 9:30.
That's fantastic.
With the idea, I think, of the one up the top of Ford Oval finishing in time for that.
Yes.
Then for the A grade being the main attraction, and there's no doubt that it worked.
Oh, perfect. Well, some positive feedback there, and obviously can only go from strength to strength if they can harness it and keep it going. I think it's a good format.
Kensington captain Doyle hit a big six in the extra over to get Kensington over the line. And she was reasonably dark by then, so it was a fair shot to effectively get him up.
Talk about that a little bit later, mate. My good for the weekend was Australia. A little bit of a personal one that Lawn Bowls there. Australia was represented in the World Bowls Championship. Male counterpart Lee Strainer, world champion now. Winning not only his this particular event, he has won it previously as well. And Adelaide's own Lainey McGorman, who we've had sort of on our bowl show. She came third, so got a bronze medal in the World Championships. So
sensational.
Congratulations go to Lainey there, and obviously Australia and South Australia being represented. Ah, so congratulations.
Great result.
Absolutely. All right, mate, let's get into Around the Grounds.
Around the Grounds.
All right, mate, today we're going to take a look at the AFL, the AFLW, the soccer and the basketball. But first up, let's talk cricket, mate. Pink ball test here in Adelaide starting on the 6th of January to the 10th of January, obviously starting at 2:30. You're going to be involved, mate.
Yeah.
We did sort of touch on it a little bit last week.
Pleased to get an email and, been chosen through running the Junior Blasters at Paynham with Matty Matchos on a Saturday morning, that we've been chosen as one of the flag bearers on Friday. So, we'll give Boomer a whack, Boomer with a flag and get Australia up. In all seriousness.
Congratulations.
Seriously, it's a huge honour and, looking forward to it.
Absolutely.
Got to be there at 12:30 for the practice. Right. So I've got a practice run first.
Mate, you got to get it right, mate.
Yes.
But being able to soak in the atmosphere at Adelaide Oval there, first day of the pink ball test. Adelaide generally turns up to these events or any type of event, really, but these type of events generally are pretty well supported.
I did hear the SACA general manager interview tonight, and they're anticipating crowds of over 45,000, so that'll be a record of Australia-India test match. Yep.
Fantastic achievement, and I hope they do get that type of crowd there. Although starting, sort of midweek or midweek-ish, makes it a little bit hard for some.
Yeah. People now are more flexible, though. Work's not 9 to 5 like it used to be. Yep. I'm sure there'll be a lot of people suddenly disappearing from offices around 1-ish on 1:30 on Friday.
Yep, and then making up a bit of time probably the following weekend or following week. No, absolutely understand. Mate, obviously the first test was an unmitigated disaster. We did talk about it last week. The fallout from that just continues to roll on. Is this going to be a sideshow for the Australians for this particular test?
I think it's been a mountain made out of a molehill in that regard. Look, Hazelwood misses out through injury. Boland will play. And Marsh, it's anticipated that he won't come up, that Webster will play for Marsh. I think they'll be the two changes, and that'll be it.
Question without notice. Constance obviously performed pretty well in the PM's 11, and we'll talk about that now. Obviously, Australia's next wave of talent coming through. He was a class above.
Yeah. He's got lots of potential, and he's come through every grade he's come through. He's dominated. So, he's the most exciting youngster we've had in a fair while. Like, Wiley from WA looked really good when he arrived with a bang, but then faded.
Yes.
I actually don't mind if they hold Constance back a bit yet. He'll play. He'll play well and truly, but I don't mind yet. And God, Boomer was a class above in Perth. I think he's the best bowler in the world.
Talk about that. That was one of the all-time spells, wasn't it?
It was.
If Coley had caught, was it Labuschagne?
Yeah.
It would have been one of the absolute all-timers. But
I think ironically, it would have been better for Labuschagne.
Yes.
He ended up batting 54 balls, and it was terrible. He looked a deer in headlights. He looked like the kangaroo about to get struck, staring in lights. Yep. And I reckon it did him way more harm, batted him even further out of form.
Yep.
And it was bizarre. He wasn't trying to work ones to get off strike, just let the pressure build and build on the other player as well.
Yep.
It was a It was bizarre. It's one of the weirdest things I've ever seen in cricket.
Mate, a little bit of a controversial one here. I'm going to throw this one at you. A bit of a question without notice. Davey Warner and Labuschagne seem to be pretty close. Batman to Robin's disappeared now. Is that something to sort of throw out there that maybe it's why?
No, Labuschagne's pretty close with Smith.
Smith,
actually.
Yeah. Well, that's what I thought as well. But
yeah, no, not at all. Look, he's quirky. He's a different cat. And look, when he came in, I think his performances, he was unbelievably lucky. He got dropped that many times.
Yep.
All of a sudden now it's caught up. I probably would have left him out by now, but it's not like there's another player banging the door down. Like they're saying, oh, should they move? So Marsh, yeah, won't bowl, so he doesn't play.
Mm-hmm.
Should Marsh move up the order and just play as a batter or Inglis, whatever? It's, again, it's not like the old days where you had Bevan, Hodge, Law, Lehman.
Yes.
Et cetera, and Cox, Stephen Udo.
Making big
just
runs.
Just keep going on the sidelines.
Yep.
Who never got looked at. Stewie Law played one test match, doesn't hold an average, 58 not out, never got out, hasn't got an average in test cricket. And if he's playing now, he'd be Australian captain.
Yep.
So it's quite crazy in that regard.
There's a trivia pub question right there for you, yeah, Stewie Law.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it, mate. Let's talk about Australia's depth. Will Pekoski, obviously, with his concussion.
Yeah.
Sam Constance, obviously, that next up-and-comer. And then the one that we've really got to talk about is Philip Hughes. Is that he was, I know he's a little bit older than those young kids, but him coming into that side changes everything, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's just, yeah, it's still hard to get your head around. I know it's 10 years ago, but, yeah, and he was going to be told in the tea break that he was back in the test side.
Yep.
Yeah, and I totally believe he would have obliterated test cricket. Obviously, because he played here.
Yes.
You know, I did watch him bat a lot at Shield level.
Yep.
He had tight in his game. He was the effervescent person. I know it gets said when someone's not around anymore.
Yep.
You never heard a bad word about that person.
Yes.
Rah, rah,
yeah,
rah.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was bloody true about Philip Hughes.
Yep.
And that's the thing.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's not just as a player you lost one of the world's great blokes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Obviously, watching some of his highlights this week, going to be honoured, obviously, at the Adelaide Test match here.
Yeah.
But watching some of his highlights, that's the kind of player Australia really needs at the moment, isn't it?
Oh, he smashed him. Hughesy was, yeah.
Because what was it, 100 on debut?
Yeah, in a one-dayer, 100 on debut, and then he made the 2 tons in South Africa. Oh, look, I think it was ridiculous when he got dropped.
Yep.
I thought it was crazy, but he'd then gone back, and don't worry, he'd worked it out. He was gonna be unorthodox still.
Yes.
He was never out of that way.
Yep.
But geez, he could play.
Yep.
He had an eye like a dead fish.
Yep.
There were certain hooksy similarities with him in that regard.
Yep.
And Boof, just such a great eye as well.
Yep.
But geez, when Hughesy hit him,
they stay hit. Yep. Obviously, what I was sort of alluding to there was the changing face of Australian cricket. Couple of those players obviously go on or could go on. Where does that leave Australia? Because we are at the crossroads, really. At the end of the day, we have to admit that we are. And the Davey Warner saga, I think, went on for 1 year too long.
Oh, no doubt about that.
For that to happen.
But, Pete, those of us involved in cricket have seen this coming
yes.
for a fair few years. The standards drop more and more away at club level. It's harder and harder to get kids playing cricket. And there's a lot of reasons there that, you know, work changing, single parents now.
Yes.
Guess what? If mum's got anything to do with it, she don't want little Johnny or little Catherine playing cricket because it's a whole day commitment.
Yep.
I'd much rather steer little Johnny and little Catherine over to basketball or whatever for an hour and that. So that there's more things to compete with. It's not like, okay, I'm another 15 years, whatever, 20 years older than you,
yep.
where it was cricket in the summer,
yep.
footy in the winter,
yes.
some played tennis,
yep.
whatever, but that was generally it.
Yep.
Where now there's so many different things. And look, as I've said, a few of us have spoken about, the subcontinent explosion of players from Pakistan, Sri Lanka and India is sensational at grade level and all that. Because without them, a hell of a lot of clubs and I'm in Adelaide would no longer be with us.
Yep.
And it's a change in culture. I know talking to a person at one club of junior trials at a district club, I think there was something like 50-odd kids and there was 48 subcontinent, etc. out of the 50.
Yep.
So it's they're the ones who love cricket.
Yeah, correct.
So don't worry. We are not far away from an Australian side with a Singh, a Muralitharan and a whatever in it.
Yes.
It will come.
Yep.
Don't dare.
Oh, no, doubt no. I don't doubt that.
That's coming. It'll be sooner than later, which is fantastic. That's fine. Absolutely. We're a very multicultural place, and I'm praising here.
Yeah.
Believe me, I'm saying this is the positives.
Yes.
But it's just scary, the lack of Australian kids playing cricket and the future of the game and how the standard overall has dropped at club level, and it was always going to come through eventually. Now, I think part of it, where they've got it wrong, the lack of test players playing Shield cricket, I think's hurt standard-wise, and I think Australia's build-up, they got exactly what they deserved in Perth. They got smashed between the eyes like they should have for effectively a really poor build-up caused a lot by themselves.
Mm-hmm. So Cricket Australia's got a new CEO. Is this part of the mandate that they need to start growing that grassroots level a little bit better than what they have previously?
Hopefully. There's lots of things.
What's the solution here?
I don't know. I really don't, because it's such I don't know the bit of work, you know, what you're competing at with other sports. And, like, you generally lose kids to AFL. And, look, I'll use Matty Luray at the moment.
Yep.
He's captain the SACA 19s. Central District's footballer. As captain PAC, doing a fantastic job captaining the SACA 19s team. And I think his maturity is playing a big part in the SACA 19s performance this year.
Yeah.
But he's got the choice now of cricket and footy. Now, I tell you, as cricket, we desperately need him. I'm talking about South Australia and Australian cricket.
Yep.
He's a good player.
Yep.
And a very, very mature, good leader.
Yep.
And those players don't grow on trees.
Sports go through evolution.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Trying to find that happy medium between giving opportunity to players and maybe not giving opportunity to players. This is where it's sort of at, isn't it? It's that sliding doors moment.
Yeah, it is.
You need to give opportunity, but you don't want to be gifting either. So
no, and let's face it, we can sit there and say on the Australian side, but the bowling attack has picked itself for a long time on that. We can say, oh, I should have given brothers opportunities. Well, no one wants to miss playing test cricket. And also, even on a bat, I agree the team is too old at the moment overall, but I'm not really sure what the remedy there would have been either. I think Warner playing that extra year certainly didn't help.
Yep.
Well,
it just means we're 12 months behind in the development where we could have thrown a few out there.
Well, the ironic thing was that was where Bancroft was in good form.
Yep.
Now he's been horrendously out of form. It's okay, finally made runs, surprise, surprise, against South Australia.
Of course.
Out of that. But he did get a stinker against on the first ball of the game, actually.
Sure.
Won't see, but, yeah, there's certainly a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on.
All right, yes, let's move on. The Promised 11 go down to India, but created a few different questions.
Yeah, it was only a 50-50.
Yeah.
It was only a one-day game. And, look, the majority of them haven't played Shield cricket out of that side as well. Like, I'm sorry, when you've got a cricket nut like myself Googling up the players to see what state they're from, I think that's showing a fair bit.
That's a bit of a worry.
I'm going, he's from the 19s. Look, they didn't want to take players away from here and there. So Goodwin, who'd made runs for WA, failed, unfortunately, But Constance was the positive out of the
Absolutely.
Game.
Absolutely. Lloyd Pope, obviously, from South Australia, getting a bowl there. Six overs, 1 wicket for 47?
Yeah, a little bit expensive.
Yes.
Not sure. So I know there was probably rain in the game, so I'm not sure whether the ball was damp at all, which obviously always really is probably the affects a leggy more than anyone else. Yep. So yeah,
probably helps someone like Scotty Boland.
So yeah, he just bowled. They were just going to bowl him 10 overs. That apparently that was the go.
Yep,
it was 10 overs. He wasn't batting.
Yep.
So I take those. I never really worry about the results in those games.
Now, speaking of Scotty Boland, was Australia trying to be a little bit? Oh, sorry, let me put this another way. Have Australia outsmarted themselves with how they were going to pick the teams coming up for the next couple of matches? And Scotty Boland was probably the man that was going to come in for the MCG test rather than the Adelaide test?
Possibly. But again, as I said, that bowling foursome's generally done the job pretty consistently. He was a bolter when they picked him at the MCG as it was, and saying, oh, he's an MCG specialist. And yeah, his performance at the G are good, but they're not the way they're raving on about. And he comes out and takes 6 for 5. So, look, out of that. But he'll play.
Yep. And were you surprised with Hazelwood's injury, considering there were no signs?
No,
and is there a conspiracy theory there that because he spoke up? That
not at all. No. He tried to carry an injury, and it's done him. And he's – don't worry. All bowlers are carrying injury, sort of thing. The word has come out afterwards that he did carry it in, and it's made it a hell of a lot worse. Yep. And he probably won't play again this series.
There you go. You've heard it first, folks. My last one on the Australian Test team is Labuschagne takes desperate measures with a couple of extra sessions in the nets. Relatively normal for players that are looking for form, or can you, like most sports, can you try too much and that is your downfall?
Pete, Labuschagne got kicked out of the nets here last year. So don't worry about that. That's Labuschagne. Labuschagne would bat 28 hours a day if he was allowed to.
And I reckon Smith would be right there next to him, surely.
He does a lot of shadow batting at night as well, Smith. But, yeah, Labuschagne, the people working at Adelaide Oval actually kicked him out last year. Yep. So that's when he was in good nick. So don't worry about that. That's just him.
If he fails here in Adelaide, what's the ramifications?
I think they've got to play someone else in Melbourne. Yep. I do think this is it for him.
Yep. Do you see McSweeney going down to 3?
That's a possibility. And, you know, it's a big round of Shield games again this week. Suddenly, if Henry Hunt gets runs, he comes in the equation as well.
Yep.
Who
is the most logical? Is it?
I still think it's Harris. It's Harris. They may go Constis as well. So it's Harris, Constis, and Hunt, I think, are the three possibilities.
No Bancroft?
No, I think he's still. Hey, he was very, 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 very nearly out of the WA side.
Right.
So
there you go.
He was nearly legal to drive in terms of he was nearly under 0.05 averaging before. Last game.
Maybe I might get a game there. My batting's not too bad, but not that bad. Mate, let's move on to some Shield cricket. South Australia versus Western Australia ended in a draw after some heavenly interventions. I did see you walk out of our podcast last week, mate, dancing and hoping for rain, and you got it.
Yeah, look, at least we fought, and that has been the case. So also the first game of the year against New South Wales. Previous years, we would have lost both those games, and at least we did fight. I did go in there on Sunday, unfortunately, to see South Australia being 3 for 2.
Yep.
And one of the more amazing things I've ever seen was, one, the ball which Jai Richardson bowled to Daniel Drew, I think was as close to unplayable as I've seen in a long time.
Yep.
I did say that to Drewy on Sunday. I said, well, you don't worry about that one.
Yep.
He just smiled. Yep. And
you don't mind getting out to a good ball. No. That's what players are like. You don't mind losing to good players or good shots or good balls.
The ironic thing, he's run down to give a high five.
Yeah.
And did his shoulder. Now, we thought straight away, sitting there, and I was with Chris Ansell after the night before, catch up with Chris again, and Jake Parima the next day, and we thought, well, that's the end of his game. And then Chopper Verrill, the Adelaide doctor, and another man went down the rooms, and all of a sudden he's bigger comeback than Moses. You know, he was back out bowling again.
Yep.
And got a wicket the net first over he bowled again.
Do you think Rhino might have knocked on the door Monday morning for the Chopper doc going, hey,
Chop, what the hell are you doing?
What have you done?
Yeah, I haven't spoken to Chopper since in that way, but it was incredible. And look, he's a class bowler if he just stay on the park. Like, if he's on the park, he's playing this weekend for mine.
Yep.
So, but unfortunately, he's just struggles. Like, he bowled beautifully in that test match here against England. So, yeah, he's just been very unlucky.
It happens from time to time. South Australia now take on Tasmania at Belrive Oval in Hobart starting on the 6th. So, you're right, there is going to be some big Sheffield Shield matches being played at the same time as the test. It's going to be hard to sort of split your viewing, sort of trying to working out who's in form and who's not.
I think there's two South Australians who have got fitness tests tomorrow. Nathan McAndrew.
Yep.
And I believe Spencer Johnson.
So okay.
We'll leave it.
Yeah, yep. No, that's fine.
Sure if I was meant to say that or that's not, okay. But that's all right.
Well, this goes out tomorrow night. The audio goes out tomorrow morning, but that should be okay, mate. What do we expect from Tasmania down in Hobart there, mate?
Hopefully South Australia win and Jake Weatherill makes runs in both innings for Tasmania, but we win. But will it be feast or famine Weathers? He can be like that.
Yep.
He's got 186 last game. Webster's a big out for Tasmania. We lose Doggett as well.
Yep.
I thought we would still get him back, but Rhino did assure me on saying no.
Not
we,
quite.
He will be. He's required to be here,
yep.
And we don't get him.
Yep.
Which I find a bit weird. I would have thought they'd release him to go down still to play. But I think the day-night start,
mm-hmm.
The day start, obviously, in the Shield game, doesn't help.
Yep.
So, in that way,
yep.
I still thought that could have been more flexible, but that's what it is.
Yep.
So, we actually lose four players to a test side. Well,
that hasn't happened for a while, mate. I'm going to leave you with a little bit of homework here. I'll let you do the homework on that and come back to us next week as to the last time that South Australia might have lost four.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I can certainly think of three, obviously, yep. Pretty easy.
I'll leave you with the homework for next week, mate. There are no more one-day matches for South Australia until the 13th of February. Is this normal or does it make the way for the Big Bash?
It's a little bit strange in terms of Tasmania player one day this week. So I just assumed it would be. When I look at the program, no, it's not.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at
so
too.
I did find that a little bit bizarre, but yeah, it's almost two separate seasons because of the bloody Big Bash.
Yep. We know your feelings on that, mate. I can tell you a quick score update as we're going live here. Tasmania are 9 for 274, chasing 319 for Queensland. That looks after 42.2 overs. So I would have to say that you'd say that Queensland would probably get the chocolates there.
Yep.
All right, let's move on to the BBL, WBBL. The Melbourne Renegades win the WBBL title over the Brisbane Heat, mate.
Yeah, look, and I've got a beef there in terms of, look, I totally agree with Duckworth Lewis during the season because you need a result
yep.
And all that. But I would have thought for the final, the grand final one, I don't really understand it being played at the G and the crowd being put all in one spot.
Yep.
So you had about 6 to 10,000 in one spot and then no one in the rest of the ground.
Right.
So I don't really get that.
That might have been done for catering purposes, possibly.
Why play it at the G? Yeah, I just find it strange.
Yep. Nope.
So anyway, Melbourne Renegades bat first, make 9 for 141. Now, Brisbane Heat, after 12 overs, was 6 for 90. So it would have been game on.
Game on, yep.
So 6 for 90 with Jess Johannesson, 44 not out of that 6 for 90 off 28 balls. So it was game on. Really could have gone either way.
Yes.
And Melbourne Renegades win by 7 runs. So for mine, it's a bit of an anticlimactic way to win.
Yep.
I do think Duckworth Lewis is the fairest method they've managed to ever come up with.
Agreed.
Where there used to be some crazy ones. We think back to the stupidity of that World Cup semi where South Africa, 23 off 14 balls and then came back and it was 23 off one ball.
Yep. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, which is just crazy.
Yep.
So I do think in that, but for mine, the set should have been lengthened. The time you wait and just use up Again, is it the power of the TV and it's only allowed a schedule between that game? Apparently it was on Sunday during the day, so it could be on Seven's main channel because they couldn't justify it being on their main channel at night, so it would have gone to Seven Mate. So it was decided ratings-wise it would be better off during the day. Mm-hmm. Well, for mine...
It's a final, though.
And I get it that the TV money bankrolls the game. I get all that. Yep. But I just think out of this, hang on, it's the final. And the final's been decided when, for mine, it was game on.
Yep.
So it's a bit weird.
Mate, maybe that's one to put in the memory bank there, that common sense could actually be used on a few occasions, and on this occasion it
I'd like to hear the other side of the story.
Yeah.
Doesn't for seem mine, like it just used. Seems like it was just totally TV decision-wise. And, you know, I get that at a lot of the time, but I think surely the final needs to be put above that.
Yep.
At any
level. Well, it's a final. That's exactly right. All right, mate. And the Adelaide Strikers obviously take on the Sydney Thunder on this Tuesday, the 17th of December, starting at 6:45. Yeah, so I know that you're not a massive big Bash fan, but any Adelaide team that could potentially do well.
I can't deny I'll be following them. But
absolutely. Good luck to them. All right, mate. Let's take a very, very quick break because we have sort of run a little bit over with our first lot of segments. We'll come back and talk a little bit local Premier League cricket. Coming up, Adelaide and Port Adelaide. What players are going to hit the track running? Congratulations go to North Melbourne winning the AFLW Premiership and being undefeated. And record-breaking night for a Perth Wildcat in the basketball. Yes.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Looking to buy or sell your home anywhere in Adelaide, from the hills to the sea? Meet Gary Creeves, your dedicated local agent from Owens Casserly Real Estate. With unparalleled knowledge of Adelaide's housing market and a commitment to exceptional service, Gary ensures a smooth and stress-free experience for all your real estate needs. Trust the expert. Trust Gary Creeves at Owens Casserly Real Estate. Your next dream home awaits. Contact Gary today on 0422 071 317 or on email garyk@ocre.com.au. And for more listings, please visit owenscasserly.com.au. Make it happen. All right, mate, welcome back to everyone. Let's talk quickly the local Premier League cricket this weekend. A couple of good results.
Yeah, look, it was, as I said, it was more the point that the club day. It's not so much the results, but yeah. And West Torrens and Kensington tied. Now, it was an interesting game. There was a pretty controversial no ball call in the last over of the game.
Yep.
Which, you know, probably did hurt West Torrens. Yes. I admit I flabbergasted by the decision there for it not to be a no ball.
Yes.
But you know,
one of those clear ones.
Yeah. No ball above the waist height.
Yep.
Yeah, it was weird that it wasn't called.
Was that partly to do with the lights? You did say the lighting was a little bit. Yeah. Maybe.
Well,
I'm trying to give the umpire the benefit of the doubt here, but sometimes you make mistakes.
Yeah, I just think it was an error. I just think it was bizarre. It was a bit weird.
Yep.
Anyway, a bit out of that, Josh Doyle, to his credit, Kensington's captain, who I previously wouldn't have thought was a 2020 player.
Yes.
He smashed him. 79 of 43 balls, four sixes, and then he hit the six in the super over. So it's easily the best I've seen him bat in a 2020 game because I rate his offies. He was easily the best bowler on either side for the game and by a long way. Four overs for 21 with his offies. He bowls smart. Henry Hunt hit him well as well, and he hit 43 off 24 with four sixes as well. So it's a couple of big bombs in the car park, and people getting worried about their cars was... I showed my age. I'd parked down the road.
Yep.
Been there, done that.
Yep.
But, yeah, so out of that. And then West Torrens were behind the run rate but chased them, came down, and as I said, could have gone either way. Harry Minetti batted really well for his 58 off 30 to nearly get West Torrens home. But in the super over there.
Well, just going back to that there, mate, like you said, you've been there, done that. Obviously, sponsor Roger Steen wouldn't have minded seeing you again for the second week out of the last month.
I was pretty keen not to catch up with Craig for a while.
fair enough.
Glenelg chased out. Glenelg 7 for 139, defeated Adelaide 9 for 131. No one really standing out there.
Yep.
Northern East Torrens 7 for 180, defeated Northern Districts. 176 for East Torrens. Lewis Szabo, 72 off 32. And Ryan King, who I think should be in the strikers squad, and I think it would be insane if he's not in a 2020 squad.
Yes.
38 off 20 balls and smashed him again there. He's for mine. If he's not in 2020, well, then teams aren't doing their homework.
Yes.
Tetragalli were comfortable winners over Prospect. Woodville defeated Southern Districts, and Sturt were just too good for Adelaide Uni. Adelaide Uni struggling currently, and Sturt doing very well there. So, yeah, look, it was just, as I said, not so much the results, more just the format.
Yep. Hopefully that can be something that is ongoing, as we've already mentioned. All right, mate, let's move on to the AFL. All players are back on the track this week, but some coaches have taken a small overseas break to increase some knowledge. What are your thoughts on that, mate?
Oh, it's more and more the way. You're just more handball now, and just the coach is more the... It's becoming a bit more like English soccer, where he's the overseer and
the manager rather than the coach itself.
You know, I watched Melbourne train last year here in... gather around, and Goody was on the oval, but he did nothing. He just observed, spoke to a couple of coaches.
Yep.
Did manage to sell him a book on the oval. That was good effort.
He's done very well.
And then it was more Mark Williams ran a lot of the drills and that. So it was actually interesting to watch, and that's more and more. And I did watch Sydney Swans train.
Yep.
And that was similar as well. Their assistant coach was running. Longmire a little bit more involved than what Goody was, but not a huge amount either. So that's more and more the go now.
Do you think their roles, like you said, have changed? But is it more that they're doing the early during the week stuff, and then as the week goes on, it's sort of handed over to the players so that way, come Saturday, the coach is ready and raring to go?
A little bit. I think there's also, especially pre-season, even more so, they just think they don't want to hear your voice so 24/7 effectively. And it's just to vary it, have more people.
Yep.
There's enough coaches employed by each side, they might as well use them.
Yep. Good call. Mate, who's your one player that you're really looking forward to? We'll start off with Adelaide. One player you're really looking forward to this year?
I think Riley Thilthorpe's absolutely vital. That showed last year.
Yep.
And without him, they're a bit rudderless. He's the key for mine as the tall target in attack.
Yep. Port Adelaide?
Yeah, Horn Francis, just go again. I reckon to take that step into the elite echelon.
Do you think that a little bit too much pressure is going to come on him, though?
No, he's still got Butters. I think there's a bit of pressure on Rosie this year.
Right.
Rosie fell away a bit last year.
Yep.
So there's Yanni's captain. So I think there's more pressure on Rosie, really.
Yep. But he was carrying an injury.
Yeah, but...
He still needed to perform when he was on the field, didn't he?
So I think that dynamic trio has only touched the surface of what they're capable.
Yep.
So
who's the fourth? Is it Willem Drew?
Yeah, to play the negating role.
I would have said Houston as well, but they don't have that luxury now.
Well, they lose his kicking out of defence, and we just got to wait and see how that really affects him. We know ball use out of defence is just so important.
Yep.
They need Kane Farrell to come back and hit the ground running. And that now as well.
Who's his?
Because I think that showed that final against Sydney, where just not having that elite ball use was a lot of junk kick in, and it was pretty easy for the Sydney defence to zone and cut off.
Yeah. Is that a Lukosius maybe role? Maybe?
Maybe. My understanding is they intended to play him deeper, which I don't get, because I think his best asset is his delivery.
Yep. So playing him up as that roaming... wing, half forward.
Tom Lynch role.
Yeah.
That's how I think he should be used.
Yep.
Wait, so
should be interesting. Is there one other player from another team that you're really looking forward to seeing this year to see whether either they take that next step or reinvigorate their career from changing clubs? I know it was a bit of a question without notice.
Oh, I'm looking to see how Tom Dady, now two knee recos, hasn't debuted for Brisbane yet, just to see how he goes when he does come back. Because that's a couple of big mental scars to be carrying there.
Yep. So. Mine is the number one, well, basically the number one draft pick in Brisbane's number one recruit, and that's the second brother.
Don't worry, they
can play as well. For Adelaide, for me, Isaac Rankin, taking that step into the midfield last year, I think we got a little bit of a glimpse. He's only just scratched the surface there.
The other one, I'm trying to think how to pronounce his name, but I did the Gold Coast Suns Academy boy, Leonardo, and that. Saw him play for the Allies, and he is exciting.
Yep.
And geez, is he quick.
Lombardi?
That's how you pronounce it.
Leonardo Lombardi.
He's explosive.
Yep. Really look forward to that. I think Gold Coast are going to be one team to watch this year.
Yeah.
I know we've talked about it on previous occasions. We've already done that one. Let's move on to soccer. Adelaide United drew with Perth Glory, but VAR denied Adelaide two pretty good goals in the end.
It was one of them. I reckon I've watched it about 10 times, just trying to see how the referee came to that decision.
Yep.
And it's got me completely beat where he said he was offside. He was on the sideline. It was just crazy. I'd love to hear his explanation.
Yep.
Are
we going to see that more and more through world sport? Sometimes that umpires maybe having their own press conference to maybe explain.
Well, I think out of that one, because do we still protect them? Yeah, I think out of that one because everyone's going, well, hang on, you've watched it and then said that.
Yep.
How have you come to that conclusion? Yep. Because it makes no sense. We've all seen the same thing. It's not like he's seen it a different angle. No, he's watched the TV like we all have.
Yes.
So I think in that regard, yes, I think there is a bit there. Well, hang on.
Yep.
How have you come to that call?
Can you see that being instigated through soccer and, say, NRL, where the respect for umpires is quite high?
Yes.
AFL, we tend to pile on
with
every little micro decision that doesn't go your way. I can't really see it happening for the AFL, but could you see it happening with soccer or maybe NRL?
Oh, well, it's so different. I go back to when I umpired the New South Wales State Primary School side, because so many of the kids are growing up playing rugby where the umpire is Sir, and it was Adam Schneider playing, and didn't give it on the inside. Yeah, young, yep. Just fine conversation, out comes the runner. Did he abuse you? No, he's fine. And the parents clapping you, like, hang on.
Yep.
I'm an umpire.
Yeah.
Can I buy you a beer? Can I do this, do that?
Yeah.
So just totally different atmosphere, attitude.
Yep.
There's an incredible difference.
Well, you know, with the American football, they actually mic up the umpires to tell you what the call was. And, yeah, all right, they don't agree with it, but they actually tell you.
Well, he had the mic on. You could hear, the players offside. Well, hang on. Can you
elaborate?
Yeah. How have you come to that call?
Yep.
So, yeah.
It was absolutely crazy. Adelaide United currently sitting third on the table, 3 wins, 2 losses, but two draws, but no losses at the moment.
Yeah, so it was.
Are you surprised with Adelaide United this year?
A little bit. I'm probably more surprised that there seemed to be a genuine gap in the comp already.
Yep.
Where that's generally they're always more evenly bunched up still, and there is a fall away, and that was probably the disappointing thing. That I think Perth Glory have got a goal difference of minus 18.
Yep.
It's horrendous. So that was a disappointing part of not winning.
Yep. A couple of those goals would have definitely come in handy there. Yep. Adelaide United play Newcastle Jets. Saturday the 7th of December, obviously 4:30 Adelaide time.
Away.
There is a lot of sport happening this weekend, not only here in Adelaide, but away for a lot of our state-based teams. Let's move on to basketball, mate. The fallout from the crowd incident has left Adelaide on its knees a little bit with another tough game coming up.
I've got to be honest, I've got just a real bitter taste about that. Like, we'll bag the AFL and, with its Victorian-centric decisions and that.
Mm-hmm.
But that decision to be made by a one-man commission who's got a link to Melbourne United, it's to say it's smelly is,
yeah,
you know, it's like saying diarrhea doesn't smell. Yep. Like, jeez, it's bizarre.
Well, I was surprised that Adelaide didn't challenge it.
I thought they had to. Yep. I really did with that.
But a one-man commission?
Crazy. Yeah.
Again, different sports, different rules. I totally get that. But not to have that almost three-man jury, so to speak, to at least even it up or make a decision one way or the other.
Yeah, because there's criticism also the Saka have a one-man thing. And I think,
too much power for one person to have.
Well, I thought Mark Harity was personally treated pretty poorly and it was a bizarre suspension of four games.
Anyway, we'll move on from that. Adelaide going down there in their last game, but taking on the Brisbane Bullets, the 6th of December, 7 p.m. local time. So good luck to them. But really, the big news from the weekend was the Perth Wildcats' Bryce Cotton, record-breaking 59-point explosion against the New Zealand Breakers.
Yeah, it's been a few in the last few days. And then Bryce Cotton's gone, well, hang on, I'm back and it's me time.
Yep.
Incredible. Like, there's another Cotton I'm probably following a little bit more in the basketball side of things.
Yes.
Son of Jared.
Yes, I thought you might say that.
So, but, incredible by Bryce Cotton. And pretty keen to see, I think, I'm still the man. And there is a bit of that with basketball.
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
So, yeah.
There's a lot of trash talk that goes on.
Obviously,
and we're going to talk about this a little bit later, the Thanksgiving games in America.
Goulding had a big one and all that. And he just came forward and went, hey, it's me, pal.
Yes, and he definitely delivered. I'm really interested to see when the Adelaide players come back from suspension as to
how fired up
they are. It could be just the spark that Adelaide need. All right, mate, let's take a very, very quick break. But when we come back, we've got Braden coming up, I should say. We've got Braden Lyle Part 2 coming up on Friday. And our flashbacks on Monday, Des O'Dwyer, part one. Really looking forward to that as well.
The famous dirt track.
Absolutely.
You're listening to the Game On Podcast. We'll be right back after this short break.
A dent and scratches putting a dent in your day? Introducing Roger Steen Crash Repairs Adelaide, your trusted solution for automotive woes. With over two decades of expertise, Roger Steen Crash Repairs guarantees top-notch service, restoring your vehicle to its former glory in no time. From minor dings to major collisions, our skilled technicians handle it all with precision and care, using state-of-the-art equipment and techniques.
Roger Steen Crash Repairs saved my car. It looks brand new.
Fast, friendly and reliable. I wouldn't trust anyone else with my vehicle. Don't let accidents slow you down. Visit Roger Steen Crash Repairs Adelaide at 14 Petter Avenue, Glynde for quality service you can count on. And here's a special offer just for our listeners. Mention this podcast and receive a $100 discount on your repair. Roger Steen Crash Repairs Adelaide. Excellence in every repair.
Flashbacks. Flashbacks.
All right, today on Flashbacks, because we had Braden Lyle on the show last week and again this week here, we thought we'd better give the Port Adelaide fans a little bit of joy here in the off-season in the Adelaide v Port Adelaide showdown number one. What are your thoughts, mate?
No comment.
This is the quietest I've ever heard you be, mate.
Comment, Wally, mate. No comment. Good comment, Wally.
Absolutely. Port Adelaide and Adelaide obviously facing off in that first showdown. There's certainly some highlights there and some very, very good players strutting around, but Port Adelaide ended up getting the chocolates on this occasion. Sit back, relax, and enjoy for the Port Adelaide fans amongst us.
Milligan and Primus, up they go at the first inner bounce. Fell at their feet, James is there, diving in Primus. He's over the ball, dragged down. expected, but they have to be careful. Free kick plucked out of this. It's going to Meade. Big roar. Won the toss. They get the first free kick. First kick. There's a fight inside the centre square. Two players wrestle. Meantime, here's an opportunity. Burgoyne on the burst. That would have been a classic start, but he's missed.
It's that kind of speed. A few of those players in the port side, and Boygon was an example of that. Hit the pack hard, got the crumbing possession, and broke clear. But at midfield flurry, it has to be controlled aggression under pressure.
Prosciutto. Welcome around Australia to Football Park in Adelaide. Showdown number one. Less than a minute played. Port scored a behind. They won the toss. They're going right to left. Here's Smart leading in the race to the ball. Meade is with him across the line. It goes. Glorious day in Adelaide. Very gentle crossing breeze blowing towards the outer side. Port bench. McCartney, one side, will have a record of 1-3 at the end of the afternoon. Johnson towards half forward. Bond was there. Rosciutto did nicely. Gets it away to support. Rintoul's kick, ill-directed. Wanganeen's in the row. The champ comes away from the half-back line towards midfield. Dickey not paid the mark. Bickley falling to the ground. Lockwood tried to knock it on. Opportunity for Wilson across the body. Well played. Taken up the ground by Fabian Francis to the run of Brown. A couple of bounces, left half forward. Vacant goal square, he goes for it. Will it run on? Bounces once, pulls up. Trinza gets back in the nick of time and touches it right on the line. Cliffhanger.
It's a different David Brown in a Port Guernsey, I think. He just looks like he's gained a couple of yards of pace, but playing as a genuine on-baller now and running hard with the ball at 6 inches from a very good start for Port.
Rodney Jamieson is a beautiful kick, and that was no exception as he finds Mark Rosciutto way out at half-back. He drives it low. Oh, some good, strong play by Port, taken by Ben Hart. He's got support from McLeod. McLeod coming through half-back and drives it long to half-board. Nigel Smart on the lead. Couldn't take the mark. Hotly pressing him is Darren Meade. This is Bond breaking away with it. That's Shane Bond. On to Fabian Francis, who drives it long. A chance for a mark here by Brewer, who couldn't quite hang on.
Liking this podcast? Please like, rate, and subscribe. Extra Time. Big Finish.
Might put the full replay of that, the first couple of minutes, just to whet the appetite of a few people. We might put the full game on the
I don't think so.
On the YouTube. We'll see if we can get it up there. Mate, let's finish off with the Extra Time Big Finish. Let's talk tennis, but we might put tennis and cricket all together in this next little segment here. Unfortunately, Australia loses a couple of legends, not only in the tennis, but on the cricket field as well.
Yeah, so Neil Fraser, tennis-wise, you know, the legendary elder statesman of that group of the Newcomb, Roach, Hoad,
yes,
Rosewell, you know, the incredible Anderson, Laver, as we said, that era is the greatest era ever in Australian tennis history. And you know, Fraser was obviously very highly regarded, Davis Cup-wise, doubles-wise and all that. Not quite. Still a very good player himself, obviously. Not quite
as credentialed as some of the others,
as a couple of the others. But, yeah, a vital thing and really hugely respected. Big Carlton man as well, Neil Fraser.
Which beauty.
I knew you'd like that.
Absolutely.
Yes, he was number one ticket holder of Carlton there for a fair while as well. And, look, Ian Redpath. Redders, hugely respected, incredibly made 3 tons against West Indies in his last year of Test cricket.
Right.
Because back then there was no money in Test cricket. He is the last amateur to play Test cricket for Australia. He refused payment originally to keep his amateur football status so he could play for Geelong in the amateurs.
Yes.
He only accepted money from cricket when on the tour of England in 64, where he's got asked, well, why'd you take the money? He said, well, I was going to starve if I didn't.
Yep.
If you saw how skinny Redders was anyway, that wasn't an attractive proposition. Yep. But when you have Greg Chappell said there are the two Australians who would die for the baggy green are Ian Redpath and Rodney Marsh, I reckon that says it all. To make 300s at the age of, I think he was 36 on memory,
yep,
against, you know, Holding, Roberts, etc.
It's a pretty fair effort.
In 75, 76. And he was probably the glue. Greg dominated. Redders and Greg were the two batsmen who dominated that series for Australia. But Redpath was just vital.
Yep.
Bat gelled very well with Greg too. So he put on 220 with Greg when Australia were in trouble in Greg's first test match in Perth in 70-71.
Yep.
And, you know, so he was different as well. He may well have been the last Australian batsman man-catted, mm-hmm, Redders. His running between wickets was, especially in the early part of his career, was bizarre to say the least.
Yep.
Wasn't known for eating witties, and he hit his first six in Test cricket in his last hit his second six in Test cricket the next ball.
There you go.
Off Lance Gibbs. Had a beer with Gibbs because he was Gibbs' 307th last Test wicket, 307th, 308th Test wicket.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's a famous photo as well. Look, I'm showing my age there. He was one of my first, you know, big cricket people. Ian Chappell was my first cricket hero.
Yep.
But yeah, for a Victorian, I love Redders, and that's probably, you can't give a bigger praise than that.
No, South Australian definitely can't do that.
Yeah.
And also the sad passing, obviously, of Rex Blundell there a little bit earlier this month.
Yeah.
South Australian Cricket Association.
Keeper.
Was sadly deepened.
Fierce, fierce competitor. West Torrens, Paul Nobes had made 213 in a district final for West Torrens. And a certain D. Lehman came into bat at about number 8.
Yes.
For Salisbury, and they chased the 400-odd to get him. And Jeff Wilson, who listens to our podcast, and I can see him smiling and laughing as I say this.
Yes.
We were standing reasonably close to Rex Blundell, and to say Rex Blundell bled the blue and gold blood of West Torrens is an understatement. He booted this glass, the old butcher glasses,
yes,
from the Magic Cave.
Yes.
Out there. Let's just say one of them is certainly no longer with us after West Torrens lost with that.
I love those little stories, though.
Oh, Willie, they're fantastic.
And I
pissed ourselves laughing, yep, as we were far enough away,
yep,
that we were safely out of danger and that we could laugh. Yes.
Yep. Yep. Yes. Lucky a second glass didn't find its way there. So, yeah, condolences, obviously, to the families.
A good seriously, he was, yep, a good keeper and a fierce competitor for South Australia.
Really look forward to looking up some of his highlights, if we can find some. I'm sure that the Sacker will probably be providing some of that, hopefully pretty soon, which will be nice. We'll see how we go there. All right, let's move on to the NBA. Huge weekend in US sports with a Thanksgiving weekend, yeah, full of games. Does Australia need something like that, or, you know, Boxing Day?
Don't know.
It's a hard one, isn't it?
It is, because Boxing Day, it's almost tradition, like, you don't not miss the first ball of Boxing Day.
The same. I've done it every year. Yep.
And I may always say on Christmas Eve, only two more sleeps to Boxing Day,
yep,
and all that side of things. It's certain a person might love Boxing Day a lot more than Christmas Day.
Yes, yes.
So it is. And also then the lunch break is the start of Sydney Hobart. And
yep,
even if you're not in the yachting, you tend to watch that.
Opening bit, yep.
Yeah, that's tradition as well. But the Thanksgiving, America do it very well.
Yep.
And that's
So you've got wall-to-wall NFL, wall-to-wall basketball.
It's everything.
Absolutely crazy. Ice hockey's probably on the way. Did you see some of the scenes, though, of the NFL games where they were snowed in,
fans
were actually digging out part of the ground? It's absolutely fantastic.
Crazy.
We might follow that up a little bit
next
week.
I thought I was watching an episode of Hogan's Heroes there for one stage.
Yeah, absolutely. NRL, Laurie Daly takes the helm once again as New South Wales State of Origin coach. It was the last time to break the Queensland sort of streak. He wants to come back and do it all again.
Yep, he's back for another shot.
Absolutely. Good luck to him there. Let's move on to the Adelaide Giants. Adelaide Giants starting the season a little bit slower, four rounds in. A couple of losses, a couple of wins there, but they take on the Brisbane Bandits this weekend up in Brisbane.
Yeah, big series this weekend, trying to get it back in a little equilibrium. I don't want to start too slow.
No.
I know we've been the dominant side now for a while, but, yeah, hopefully get it back on the even keel.
Start to click in there. We've got four young South Australians in the under-18 World Cup qualifying roster there. We have Will Kuzner. I wonder if this is a relative of a previous guest of ours. But we'll follow that one up.
I've got to give David a ring anyway, so I'll ask.
Mitchell Evans, Deacon Filkid, Tyler Green, and Tyler Howarth. Congratulations on your selection there. First game is Thursday, the 5th of December. We're playing New Zealand, so a little bit of a trans-Tasman flavour to it. Good luck to the South Australians representing there. SNFL news, mate. Anything floating around at the moment? It's been very quiet.
Let's just say hopefully you're hearing about Nord signing a ruckman, maybe from the red and white Sydney side soon. Let's wait and see there.
And just to finish off, mate, a couple of general questions here. Home ground advantage. Should the away team get to pick what they're going to do first? Cricket, football?
Oh, I've said that in cricket now for years.
Yep.
I think that way it stevens things up. It makes curators be a bit more thorough, a bit more professional.
Yep.
I think it gets away with a bit of the smelly things
test cricket that can happen. Yep.
Yes. I reckon Darren Lehman would have first said that 15, 20 years ago now.
Yep. Yep.
Now, just thinking on the golf side of things, we better get to our illustrious man because he's done some caddying.
I did see that on the socials.
So
yes.
I reckon, and there was a pretty incredible result on the golf on the weekend.
Yes.
So I think we'll get Craig on and get him to give us his highlights.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we'll organise that.
Being on course for that, he'll give us a first-hand account.
Ridiculous, really, the American who won it.
Yes.
We'll let Craig do it.
Yeah, absolutely, from a long way up.
Yeah.
Mate, the good, the bad, the ugly for this week, just to finish this off very quickly.
I still think the basketball, the smell of the suspension, for mine, it's really damaged the game. It's lack of transparency. Bizarre. I thought Adelaide's statement as a club was pathetic. It was wishy-washy. Real dampener on the sport for mine.
There's a lot of backroom deals that get done with that thing. Is it a case that Adelaide didn't do their due diligence?
For mine, I've lost a bit of interest out of basketball out of this.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's that poor. I just bizarre in every way.
Well, Larry Kesselman's listening to our podcast, the man who's bankrolled the NBL, we'd love to get him on to hear his side of the thing and maybe hit him up for a sponsorship or two. But it would be very interesting to see what the explanation is with that.
Yeah, no.
Yep, absolutely. All right, mate. And obviously your good was the games out at the local suburban grounds over the weekend. So
yep.
I think that one's for me as well. All right, mate, we better wind things up there. Thank you very much for your time once again, mate. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on board. Next week we'll try and get Craig on for a couple of minutes to talk some of the golf there and really give us his point of view. Until next week, we promise to do better, mate. See ya.
See ya, mate.
In this crazy world we live in, we all need the distraction. Enjoying the show? Like, rate, and subscribe. Hook up and connect with us on social media @SportsCastSA. We'll see you next time on Game On.